Thank you that you're tuning our ears into the sound of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that for the outpouring of your Spirit into each one of our lives today. We thank you for the anointing that is already upon your word, for your word is truth and it is life. And God, I just thank you that you teach us today. You inspire us today. You encourage us today as we sit together with you in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thank God that he prepares the congregation as I pray every Sunday morning. I pray for the Lord to sprinkle our congregation with the precious blood of Jesus and to sanctify us and to set us apart, that we're ready to hear from the throne room. We're ready to engage with his Holy Spirit. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Hallelujah. The scripture was just up there. We're going to read it again on Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as the rushing of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is Pentecost Sunday. Today the liturgical color is red, and the color represents the Holy Spirit. Pentecost designates the 50th day after Passover, and Pentecost is a Jewish feast day. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. It was on this day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered together in Jerusalem in the upper room. And it was on this day that the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed into the earth. Hallelujah! We celebrate the birthing of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church that Jesus Christ gave his life for. He gave his life for the church. We are a precious group of people to him here in the earth today. The church of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody said this, "You might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart." All through the Bible, the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit and their symbols of the Holy Spirit and how he manifests himself and interacts with his people. Symbols of the Holy Spirit that we find throughout the word is fire. Fire is purifying. It's illuminating. It's searching. There's oil. Oil represents healing and comforting and consecration. Water, it's a cleansing and it's life-giving. And the dove, we hear of the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. It's gentle, it's peaceful, comforting, guiding, and warning. And finally, the wind. It was the wind that opened up the Red Sea. And it was the wind that made a way for the children of Israel to escape from their enemies. It was the wind that pushed back the waters. And then it was the wind that closed the waters upon the enemies of the children of Israel and destroyed their enemies. It was the wind that God sent from the heavens. By the way, he has storehouses of winds in heaven. I wonder what those look like. Wonder what it sounds like when you get close to a storehouse full of wind in heaven. But it was the winds that God sent to dry up the waters that were on the earth after the flood. Wind is powerful. It was the wind that brought the plague of locusts upon the Egyptians and separated it from the children of Israel. And it was the wind that came and took the locusts away. The wind of God is powerful. It was the wind that brought the rain that ended the 3.5-year drought that I was talking about this morning with Elijah. The prophet, he said, you know, I
can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He had his ears tuned in to what God was doing in the heavenlies. There were no natural signs of what God was getting ready to do in the earth, but the prophet could hear the sounds that were rumbling in the heavenlies, and he knew that the rain was coming and that it was going to end the drought. Hallelujah! And the wind began to blow that one little cloud. And the scripture said that as the wind blew, the skies filled up with dark clouds and the rains began to pour out and end the 3.5-year drought. Praise God. When the wind of God blows, it brings change. And somebody here today needs change in their life. And the power of the wind of God wants to blow. We can't see it. We can't touch it. But we know that God releases the wind of His Spirit and things in our life begin to change. So last night I came in. I was down at a class in Versailles, Indiana, at Apostle Leon's. I take a class down there the second weekend of every month. And I drove home yesterday evening, and I thought, well, I'm just going to come and stop in the church and pray and make sure everything is set for today. And the title of my message is The Wind is Blowing Again. And as I was praying, I remembered an old choir song called The Wind is Blowing Again. And being the spontaneous person that I am, I got on the internet to see if there was an accompaniment track to that. And you know what? There is. So this morning I'm going to sing it, and the chorus, you can join with me, because we are making this proclamation. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. Test. All right, we've got it. So sing the chorus with me, please. And you can stand and get into this song. You know, it's an oldie but goodie. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. A little more music. The wind is blowing again. The day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. There was a crowd gathered round from all over town. They came to see what it was all about. There was a sound that came down from the upper room as the Holy Ghost was being poured out. It sounded just like the roar of a mighty wind, and it fell on every one of them. The wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing again. Little more music. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind of God is blowing through the world today, like the prophet Joel said it would do. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it's for you and your children too. So open up your heart and let the wind blow in. You'll never, never be the same again. The wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing again. The wind is blowing again.
just like the day of Pentecost. The wind is blowing again. Say yes. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost. The wind is blowing again.
The wind is blowing again, just like the day of Pentecost. The wind is blowing. I'm switching microphones, Elder James. We need the wind of God to blow into our lives. Amen. Ezekiel 37:9 says this. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And this is the prophet prophesying to the valley of dead bones. It was a valley of dead, dry bones. And the Spirit of the Lord told the prophet, began to speak to the wind, to prophesy to the bones, to come alive as the wind of God blows upon them. We need the wind of God to blow into our life. The Hebrew meaning for the word live is to revive. Some of us need to be revived today. Some of us need to be restored today. Some of us need to be nourished today. And the wind of God, it does all of that. It preserves us. It quickens us. It recovers us. It repairs us. It restores to life. It saves us and it makes us whole. We need the wind of God. And when God spoke to the prophet, he didn't tell the prophet to call on the fire to come into the valley of dry bones. And he didn't ask for the oil to come. He didn't say that they needed water. But he said, prophesy to the wind of God. When the wind of God begins to blow in your life and blow in your situation, change comes. We need the wind of God to blow away the past. We need the wind of God to come and revive us and restore our souls. We need the wind of God to strengthen us. We need the wind of God to encourage us just to keep on going. Somebody here today is struggling with just keeping going. And God said, I am blowing my wind into your heart today. I am refreshing you today. We need the wind of God to blow. But just like the prophet began to prophesy to the wind, we stand up and we began to speak the word of the Lord into our situations. We release the wind of God. You know, God is in the heavenlies just waiting to restore us, revive us, refresh us. He is there and he is looking down and watching over his children. And you know what? He's a good father. He's waiting for us to ask. And you know what? If you ask in faith, believing, the scripture says you will receive. Now, it might not be on your time, but God hears your prayer. And when it is according to his will, the answer comes. Because he's a faithful father. So we prophesy to the wind.
of God to blow into our lives. And you know what? I'm here in the spirit, I'm seeing the enemy comes in like a flood, but the wind of God dries up all the resources of the enemy. Hallelujah. He dries them up because his wind is all powerful. And he has given us authority over the works of the enemy. And God is the one who goes before us and fights our battles. And we release the wind of God today to dry up the work of the enemy that's going on in our life. We are here because we are for one another. Is that right? We all need a spiritual family to survive, especially in this day and age. We need a spiritual family, and we gather together because we are for each other. And so we come into agreement. You know, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. There's a whole lot of people sitting in this place this morning that when we prophesy to the wind to come into our life to dry up the work of the enemy, think of the agreement that we have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you for the winds of God blowing today. We thank you, Lord, that you release your wind and you dry up the work of the enemy in our lives, God. That tormenting spirit that's after us, God, we break its power by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we decree and declare the wind of God is blowing him and blowing him and blowing on him until he dissipates completely out of our life. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, yes. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the wind this morning. We need to let the wind of God blow. But first, we ask for the wind, right? To prophesy means to proclaim, to speak, to declare. We can't be quiet. A lot of times we're quiet and we just hope the problem stops. You know, I just hope this stops and we go on and try to ignore it. But God wants us to rise up. He's calling the church to rise up. This is a new season. You hear us say that a lot, but you know, every day is a new day. Every day there's a fresh anointing. Every day is a fresh start with the Lord. And this is a new season, a new day, a fresh start for the church to arise and be the church that Jesus Christ gave his life for. To unite as one. As one. Do you remember the teaching by Lance Walno? That was the first thing I taught at the conference with all the pastors, was as one. We moved that whole time in Kenya with eight nations represented as one. And we'll talk about that the last Sunday of the month. We're going to show some pictures and share some stories. When we move as one, there is nothing that can stop us. There is nothing. When they were building the Tower of Babel, God came down to see what they were doing because he said, there is nothing that this group cannot accomplish because they moved as one. And that's when God confused the people with different languages. And he stopped that work. But he has called the church to be as one. One mind, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit. Just look it up in the scripture.
He's called us to move as one. His body in the earth, coordinated and moving. And as members of this body, God has called us to stand with one another. Life gets tough sometimes. Amen? It throws you some curves you're not expecting. We got over to Kenya and found out, you know, my mom was taken in for emergency surgery. And on top of that, Prophetess Ina Carr was supposed to be here to preach, and she ended up in the hospital with a stroke. And so it was like, okay, God, rally the intercessors, because there's two that's needing us to pray for them, and two people that we count on heavily as we travel. And thank God. I mean, God told us as we prayed that if we were about his business, he would take care of our business back home. And that the same miracle working power that he was demonstrating in Kenya would be demonstrated back home. And you know, I shared with you last Sunday, I think, my mom, no cancer, everything's fine, she's doing wonderful, and we thank God for that. And Ina Carr, there is no signs of a stroke. Now, she went in the hospital with every sign of a stroke, and they ran tests on her, and they were really concerned because she couldn't talk. I mean, you know Prophetess Ina Carr. You know what a good articulator and communicator she is. She could hardly get her speech out. And so they were going to run more tests the next day. And the next day the doctors came in and she said, you know, the Lord visited me last night. And he told me, there is no sense in you running this test, because you're going to be embarrassed, because you're not going to find anything. And she was still having problems articulating, but she was prophesying to her destiny and what the Spirit of the Lord had said to her. And they ran the tests, and they could find nothing going on in her brain that was abnormal whatsoever. And so they said, well, I guess you just need to go home and rest. And that's exactly what she did. She went home and rested. She didn't go to church that Sunday, but the following Sunday, she went to church to give God the glory. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good and for his glory. And Ina's a nurse, and so she had the opportunity. She speaks the language, you know, in the hospital. She had the opportunity to talk their language and at the same time share about the goodness of God. And so Ina is back. Actually, we're going up this coming Friday night up in Michigan to teacher Terry Kuhn has a School of the Prophets up there. And Prophetess Ina's scheduled to teach this Friday. And we're going up and interceding for her and believing that she will be... I told her, I said, you're going to be 120%. Hallelujah. We agree and decree. The wind of God is blowing in Ina's life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the wind. Many Christians today are like the Ephesus believers that are spoken about in the book of Acts. And we're going to read that in Acts 19, 1 through 6. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said unto them, did ye receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, nay, we did not as much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And when they heard this, They were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So this group of believers were rebaptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The wind of God was blowing, and complete change came into their life, because the scripture says you will be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So many Christians today have not received the power that God has for them. And what we need today is the wind of the Spirit of Pentecost. And I'm not talking about Pentecostalism. All you Pentecostals, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We got a bunch of them here that came out of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord. We're not talking about Pentecostalism or some specific belief or standard you have to keep, because Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your life, and you speak in tongues and you prophesy. That's how God designed it. That's the day of Pentecost, and the wind is blowing once again. And it is a promise for every born again, blood bought, redeemed child of God. It's a promise for you. God is pouring out His Spirit, just like it was prophesied by Joel in chapter 2, verses 22 and 28. And the scripture says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit." God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh today. Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and streams upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." God is watering us and pouring out His Holy Spirit. Can you hear the sound of the river coming down? I can hear the sound of the river coming down. Thank you, Lord. Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 16 and 18. "But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel." You see, Pentecost is a "this is that" moment. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a "this is that" what Joel was talking about. We need some "this is that" in our life. We need the "this is that" in our life every day. We need the winds of God to blow in our life and the power of the Holy Spirit to be manifested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." The rain of the Holy Spirit is falling on dry and religious ground of our day. God is watering us. The Holy Spirit's raining down upon us to prepare the precious fruit of the earth for harvest. God said, "I wait for the precious fruit of the earth." And Pentecost is all about harvest. You know, you guys are a bunch of fruits sitting out here. Did you know that? You're just a fruit. Tell your neighbor, you're just a fruit. But you're God's fruit. You're God's fruit. And he said, "You're precious." Tell him you're a precious fruit. Yeah, you're a precious fruit. And God waits for the precious fruit of the earth. You see, he's the one that has to nourish us. We don't know how to do that ourselves. We study his word, we pray, we know how to do those things, those disciplines, but it takes God. It takes God changing us and transforming us and causing us to be more like Jesus Christ here in the earth. Last week, Jeff's brother was here, and he came up to me after church and was talking to me and just sharing with me his experiences that he's been having with God. And he's just so amazed at how he is being transformed and changed by the Spirit of God. He was saying, I'm just not the same that I was. And if I wouldn't have gone on the road and taken this trucking job, God never would have gotten me alone to talk to me to do what he's doing in my life. But I just can't get over what he's doing. He said, I don't know how he does it. And isn't that the truth? We try so hard to fix ourselves. Anybody ever try to fix themselves? Oh, yeah, I'm going to try so hard to fix myself. But you know what? When God begins to do that work and the wind of God begins to blow in your life and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit begins to water you and nourish you, it's like, who am I? What happened? Have you ever felt that way? Somebody wave your hand if that's happened to you. Yeah, so people don't think I'm like crazy. What is wrong with that lady? She is a wild lady. They told me in Kenya, I have never seen a white woman preach with fire like you preach. Hallelujah. Fire of God. The wind of Pentecost, the wind of the Spirit is blowing on us. The good news is, let's read what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said in Acts 2:38 through 40, Peter said unto them, that was the crowd, there was a crowd gathered round, all of those folks that came, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. The gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out to save us from the perverse generation. The perverse generation is a generation that is backwards from God. They are moving as quickly as possible away from the principles and the doctrines of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear his name. They don't want you in their on their committees. They want you to share your bathroom with transgenders. Come on, they are perverted. They are a perverted generation. Perverted. And we've got to have nothing to do with them. This is ridiculous. I was thinking, you know, every one of them need to do an activation. Just go home, stand in front of the mirror naked, and write down what you see and come back and tell us. And we will tell you what bathroom you need to use. Simple activation. Hallelujah. But the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out to save us. To save us. From this perverted generation. I don't know how you're going to make it if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I don't know how you're going to make it if you're not able to just cry out to the Lord in your heavenly language and unknown tongues and begin to pray and intercede, because there are serious problems going on in life, in our family's life, in our cities. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Well, that's when we make groanings by the Holy Spirit. And we begin to groan and pray in the Spirit for God to move, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we are to pray for. It's a gift from God. It's a promise. Too many Christians have not received the gift that God has for them. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be born again without the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that causes you to be born again. But this is the infilling of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It is still alive and well today. There were several that received it, and I've got pictures of people coming forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I told Bishop Owino, I said, you know what? Your job is going to be so much easier now. Hallelujah. Because they're connected in a spiritual way. God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so it is by the Spirit of God that we connect with God, that we hear His voice. We've got to hear His voice, church. If we are going to be saved from this untoward generation, untoward perverse generation, we need the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power. We have no power without the Holy Spirit. We have no power. Jesus said that God had anointed Him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and set the captive free. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, we will not be able to set people free or heal the brokenhearted. You know, it is a major tool that God has given to us. It's major. Tell your neighbor, it's a major gift. It's just not something little. And a lot of Christians just push it off. It's important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a promise you can claim. It's a promise that you can claim. Jesus, in John 20, 21 through 22. Just one more scripture and we're going to close. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when He had said that, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God breathes on us. He breathes on us and causes us to live again. He causes us to be revived and restored. God has given us everything that we need to make it through this life. And whatever God starts, He finishes. So many Christians start with God and then they stop. They serve Him. But there's more. We press into the more of God. We press into the fullness of the Godhead. God, everything you have, we want it. And if there is anyone here today who has not received the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and you would like to, please stand to your feet. If there is somebody, I know most folks in our church have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yikes, speaking in tongues. Is there anybody? It's your promise. You can claim it today. It's your gift. Amen. God's waiting to give it to you.